33,000 students at the University of Nottingham. They know what this means.
This is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home. What a strike from Ben Osborne!
All 25 yards out, he's going to shoot. Oh, what a goal from John Stead.
This is URN Sport.
I'm delighted to be joined by Adam Pratchett from the University of Nottingham Basketball Club. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
That's all right. Good stuff. Good to have you on the show. Now, obviously, it's the start of the year. How was Sports Fair from the Men's Basketball Club in terms of getting recruitment and in terms of interest from the freshers?
Well, it was great. We used a video this year with Leo Lightfoot to kind of promote the club as a whole. And also we had numerous flyers and things. I think the sports fair was quite busy, which is good. And we were next to the other basketball team. So I was quite impressed with the turnout there. We probably had a good few hundred people come down and see us. So it was great.
That sounds excellent. And in terms of how people would get involved if they haven't done so already, have you got trials and things like that coming up?
So we had trials on the weekend. And we had about 100 people there, which is an amazing turnout at the David Ross Sports Village. If people want to get involved still, I'd say go online, go onto our Facebook page, University of Nottingham Men's Basketball Club, find us on there and message us. We have a load of opportunities, both playing and non-playing, within the club, whether they're a beginner or an experienced player. Just message us and we'll kind of go from there, basically.
That sounds excellent. You should definitely get involved with basketball at the University of Nottingham. And you touch on the David Ross Sports Village there. We're asking all sports clubs this on the Thursday Sports Show. How much of a boost is this new sports village going to be to your team and to your prospects in Bucks, to your training, your preparation and all of those sorts of things?
So for us, we're actually not going to be at the David Ross Sports Village for training. But the one thing that I would say is when I was there on Saturday and Sunday, walking into that actual facility, I think for a long time, when you play Bucks and you go away, the Loughborough's, the Worcesters, who have a fantastic kind of facility, we've not necessarily had that before. And to now go into that sports village and actually say, you know what, we have a fantastic facility to reflect the incredible kind of performance clubs we have. So it'll certainly be really beneficial to all the clubs that will be there. And it's great to kind of actually say, now we have a facility that can rival the Loughborough's or anything else. So I'm really excited for the year ahead.
Certainly, it really stands us out in the Bucks League and with sport here at the University of Nottingham in the wider frame of university sport. In terms of the lighter side of basketball, what form do your socials take? Do you do the Wednesday Crisis? Are there more non-drinking events? What's the agenda with that?
Well, for us, as a club, we're really committed to student welfare and being as inclusive as possible. So, yes, we have the kind of the Wednesday Crisis socials, of course, which are great fun, and we always link up with other clubs. But on top of that, we also try and make sure that we have a range of other socials available. So whether that be going out for meals with teams, whether that be going paintballing, all those kind of stuff. So there's a real balance there, something for everybody. And that's always been the aim for us, is making sure that we have a wide range of opportunities playing, but also on the social side as well. So it's really great.
Absolutely. Plenty of ways to get involved in the social and competitive side of basketball. Now, on to more competitive things. Your first team, in fact, got to the third round of the Bucks Trophy last year and finished third in the Bucks League. Am I right in saying that? While your second team finished in fifth place in the league. What would be your targets to this year to improve, get up the table or progress further in cup competitions? What are your plans with that?
Well, one thing I would add is that our third team also got promoted this year and they were almost undefeated by one game at the end of the season. For us as a club, last year we were ranked in the top 15 in the country. And for me as a president, I want us to be in the top 10. So to do that, we're pushing for promotion in our first and second team 100%. And seeing the squads that we have on the trials weekend, I'm really excited for and hopeful for that. And our third team as well has looked very, very strong. So for us, getting promotion for all three teams and also, as you said, going to a really big cup run will be fantastic for us. So, of course, the other thing is we obviously want to reclaim the Varsity title. That's important for us as well. But at the end of the day, Bucks is the priority right now. Varsity's in a few months' time. So, we'll see how it goes, but I'm excited for the future ahead.
Ambitious targets there. That's excellent. Excellent stuff to set your sights so high so early. You may come up against some quite illustrious opposition, however, in your leagues, which could put an obstacle in between you and winning leagues. You've got the likes of Birmingham, Durham and Loughborough in your leagues, Midlands 1A, 3A, etc. Which sides, for you, are the ones to watch out for this season?
Well, I think that obviously Loughborough has always been a consistently strong team. But for us, our main teams actually, I feel, are Derby have always been strong and in the first team. And they are potentially in a period of transition this year with two of their kind of key scholarship players now retiring from Derby. So there's an opportunity there to kind of exploit that and do well. Oxford Brookes has also been very, very strong. The difficulty we have as a club is that we're not a National League club. Whereas in the first team league, every single club in there has National League. So they have about three times as many games as us. So for us to be year on year, kind of getting the top three spots is a fantastic achievement in itself. But now, obviously, as you've said, we want to push for promotion. So it's about kind of taking it to the next level and making sure that we perform on both ends of the court.
Would a National League spot, as well as the top 10 rankings, be another target for you? Maybe not in this season, but in the coming seasons,
I mean,
for the basketball club?
I mean, I'd love us to have National League for the first team. We definitely have the standard there. And for us, it would be so much easier for us to get promotion and to compete if we had that National League, simply because you have more games, you're able to attract better players into the university. So that is 100% an aim for our club.
That sounds great, and we wish all the best with that progress in the coming years. If you were to get National League standard, that would be excellent. Now, in terms of varsity, you touched on it just earlier. It was so agonisingly close in that game last year at the Motorpoint Arena. Is it 75-77?
Yeah, thereabouts. It was 2 points in it.
Yeah, something about that.
Game,
and
yeah.
Lost the game in the last minute. What would be the team's plan for ensuring we bring back varsity for the University of Nottingham this year?
Well, so last year, first of all, I think it was an incredible game to watch. I think that's the one thing that everyone agreed on, was that yes, the result didn't go our way, but that's why everyone loves basketball, because anything can happen. We were up by, let's say, 5 or 6 points with a minute to go, and then Trent were incredibly good with some clutch shots they had. So yes, of course, we want to take that title back. And for us as a club, we wanted to make sure that we are as professional as possible in all aspects now. So we have more training sessions this year. We're introducing player contracts to make sure they come to our S&C sessions. And on top of that, we also have some really exciting new players. So I think for us, it's sticking to the game plan and trusting the system that we have and just going forward from there. And we had our first training session yesterday. The first team is already looking very, very strong. So I'm excited for their future ahead. And the other thing to say is that Trent obviously now have National League. So they are now going to be more of a side to be reckoned with, which is a good thing for the competition, because in the past, obviously, they've been lagging behind. So I think now, from a spectator's point of view and from a player's point of view, it'll be a much tougher game, which means it's going to be better to watch. We're obviously going to win, but at the same time, it's going to be great to as a spectator. So I think that it's exciting for the future. I'm looking forward to having that challenge on the court.
Certainly, well, the calibre of Trent, along with your new recruitment and implementation of your gameplay and original tactics that you have, will hopefully serve you well in varsity. Thank you very much for joining us, Adam, and I wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
No, thank you very much.
Cheers.
We are going to go to the Bucks results roundup for this week. We've got a live version given to us by our very own James Perkins.
It was a strong week for the University of Nottingham on the second Bucks Wednesday of the academic year, with 61% of matches won. It was 3 wins and 3 defeats in badminton, as the men's thirds recorded an 8-0 victory over Lincoln, whilst the women's seconds lost 6-2 away to Oxford. The men's seconds, thirds and women's thirds were defeated in basketball, while the men's first and women's seconds recorded comfortable victories against Worcester and Loughborough. It was goals galore in the football, with 5 victories and 2 defeats. The men's fourths and women's thirds won 8-0 and 25-0, respectively, against Nottingham Trent. It was a successful week for hockey, with 6 wins, 3 draws and 2 defeats. In netball, our first beat Birmingham seconds 49-28, while the seconds and third teams also picked up victories. The green and gold were dominant in rugby union and league, with 4 wins and 1 narrow 15-20 defeat at home to Leicester's firsts for the men's rugby union second. It was 4 wins and 2 defeats for squash, including 5-0 and 4-0 triumphs over Birmingham and Lincoln, while every table tennis side came out on top in their matches. It was 6 victories and 1 loss in tennis, while our women's volleyball teams lost 3-0 against Northumbria, East Anglia, Oxford Brookes, and the men's sides recorded a win against Oxford Brookes first, with 1 defeat against Sheffield Hallam. That's your Bucks roundup for week 2. The University of Nottingham end the week on 773 points in 6th position in the Bucks standings.
Thank you very much, James. Guys, any results that stand out to you from that Bucks roundup?
25-0.
I was wondering who was going to get to that first. Unbelievable. That's just incredible, by anyone's standards.
I'm surprised the mercy rule wasn't brought in.
Yeah.
It's like one of those results where if it was written down, they'd have to put the number in brackets.
Yeah.
25 brackets, 25 close brackets, nil.
Yes, you
incredible.
Have read that correctly.
I mean, on aggregate against Trent this week in football, it was 35-2 from two football matches.
That's incredible. Like, if any other normal week, we'd be going 10-2. That's unbelievable. But 25-0, it's just incredible. But yeah, I don't want to dwell on that too much because there's not much to say about it. Dominant. We're a bit good at table tennis, aren't we?
Mm. They don't even mention the scores. It was definitely a 17-0
for the seconds.
17-0
for
the seconds.
Over Birmingham first.
17-0, 16-1, 15-2.
For people who don't know table tennis that well, 17-0 is the biggest margin you can win a game. That is winning every single point.
Yeah.
Not every point, but every single set of every single match.
So 17-0 is the best possible outcome. And they got it. And they do it week on week, don't they?
Birmingham are no slouches either. And this is their first team. And it was our second team took them 17-0. It's just incredible.
It must be so demoralising for a Birmingham team to travel, 45 minutes to Nottingham. You know, you come along all fresh-faced and happy and you leave with a 17-0 loss. Imagine going home to your housemates and being like, how'd you get on, guys? We lost 17-0
every single game.
But I tell you what, Liam, when he came in a couple of weeks ago, of course, president of the UON Table Tennis Sports Club, not Society, Callum, he said they wanted to break that 500-point barrier, didn't he? And they've gone
about it the right way.
They
to start
really
with.
Have. They 17-0, 16-1, 15-2, 13-4, and then 2 5-0s.
Is 5-0 the biggest the women's can win by?
It
presumably.
Would appear
if
so.
I assume that's in
nil.
Matches. Yeah.
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 It's both 5-0. It's unreal. It's the new coach that they've got in, the former professional, clearly doing the job.
Kelly Sibley, yeah.
A huge win as well for the tennis men's fours in tennis, beating East Anglia's seconds 12-0 at home. Sam, what's it? 12-love, should that be?
12.
I mean, it's tennis.
Tennis 12-love, yeah, of course.
And also the women's fours beating Aston's first 12-love away from home as well. Tennis looks to be doing quite well with 6 wins and a loss.
I tell you what, one thing that stands out for me is that tennis has obviously grown in depth, because when I last played, there wasn't even a men's fourth team. That was 2 years ago. So since then, they've added a men's fourth and a men's fifth team. It was just the development squad back then. And I'm only slightly bitter because I was in that and never got to play for the union. But the other one that I'd pick out is in squash, sticking on the racket sports theme. The women's seconds beating Birmingham seconds 4-0. Birmingham are no slouches at squash. I'm pretty sure they've won the last few years. Oh, they've got the largest number of points. So that is a really, really good result away from home as well.
But picking out individual results, you can't ignore the overall kind of win. 61% won. And we're happy with 50.
We always aim for 50%. But only 6th overall, and we've had 2 over 50% weeks, so I can't quite get my head around that. I don't know if we've not played as many games as everyone else or what's going on there, but I would have expected to be higher than 6th.
This always seems to happen at the start of the season for some reason. It always head in the sort of top 10, but never up to that sort of 3rd, 4th where we end up finishing.
We didn't play that many games last week either. Mm. Not all of the sports competed.
Okay, well, yeah, so but I think, yeah, if we can keep getting above 50%, that's definitely what we're aiming for, and we can possibly build on that 4th place finish last year.
Hi, I'm Lauren Herrier, your SU Sports Officer, and you're listening to URN Sport.
So a couple of interesting responses there from Philippe Montagnier. He was asked if he'd considered playing 2 up front, Sam. How do you think that would go if he started just throwing men forward?
Well, considering that all the problems are at the back, I don't really think that's the...
The correct answer is badly.
Badly, yeah. I mean, they'd score 3, they'd concede 5, so it doesn't really make much difference. I mean, I think the long-term dream would be to see Velios and Asson Belonga up top when Asson Belonga is back to full fitness, which could be...
Never.
Next month. It could be 2022. We just don't know, really.
When was the last time they ever played 2 up front?
I think he...
He said in the interview that he's played 2 up front against Rotherham and Brentford.
But they've never done it consistently. They've always had just 1 up top.
And neither of those games were positive results from what I remember. Brentford was a loss and Rotherham was a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, Rotherham conceded late, didn't they? But they've got Bentner now. I mean, I'm not Bentner's biggest fan, but he should be able to do a job in the Championship, in my opinion. Whether himself and Velios is a good partnership, because they're
quite similar players. I don't know how that would work. You'd really need, up with someone like Velios or even Bentner, you need the pace and the strength of a Sombolonga to make a good partnership. I just think, will a Sombolonga ever be fit enough to play like a full season again? Because he can't play two up front with the players that he's currently got. Either they need to invest in the window, or they need to just be content with playing one up top.
It does really seem to be an ongoing problem with Forest, this ability to somehow break their star players and then just have them permanently injured. I mean, you look at Chris Cohen, you look at Andy Reid, and now you look at Sombolonga.
Lansbury's not exactly fully fit 100% of the time.
Lansbury's better than the rest of them. I mean, where on earth is Matty Fryett? Seriously, a genuine question. If anyone knows, please help, because we just
can't
find
him. URN1350 on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or get us on the web text at URN1350.net if you know where Matt Fryett is.
It is just, it's very concerning at Forest, and it's not a pattern that shows any sign of ending either, this sort of constant injury battle that they have.
It's not even like they play an incredibly high tempo system like Liverpool, like Klopp does, or like even Guardiola. Like, they play relatively slow build up, occasionally hit them on the counter. They don't press high.
They're not a high pressing team.
Exactly.
Either.
They don't press high. They don't consistently run their socks off. And you cannot say every single game, oh, they've given 110%. They've run the other team into the ground, because they don't. And yet, like you say, Sam, they're all injured. Like, for the star players especially, for a lot of the time. I don't know whether it's the training regime, because it's not just Montagnier. It's been consistently now three or four managers. The star player always seems to be injured.
I mean, the one worry at the moment, especially that Montagnier actually alludes to in another part of that interview, is where he mentions that seven of the players they brought in after their pre-season. So he said they didn't get the pre-season, they didn't get that chance to work on their fitness, and they are now struggling. Well, this is why they are rotating.
They could have been
every single
they could
week.
Have been at other clubs, and they've just not integrated into the system at Nottingham Forest yet. That could be another reason that he hasn't been playing those seven players. But you're right, Sam. He was asked numerous other questions. All of them came from the Nottingham Forest fans on Twitter. One of them that caught my eye, or two of them rather, that caught my eye: how can Jack Hobbs not be playing when we're leaking goals so badly? And why do you insist on playing Hildeberto Pereira in defence when he's naturally a winger? I'm going to combine those two questions together. Why is there no Jack Hobbs? And why is Pereira not playing further forward, do we think?
Well, he doesn't seem to have decided on what his starting 11 is. I mean, fair enough, it's early. But we need to make some sort of decision and make some sort of consistency, really. So they need to set on a back four, and they need to basically decide this is the strongest team, and then rotate beyond that from there, I think.
It's a difficult one with Hobbs, because I'm sort of backing up what you were saying, James. They really need to settle on a back two. And it seems like Hobbs, as good a player as he is Montagnier's fifth choice centre-back. Be that through fitness concerns, or he just isn't as keen on him as he is on the others. So, I mean, you do wonder whether Hobbs will be there come the end of the season, because it really looks like he's just fallen out of favour with Montagnier. Montagnier just doesn't rate him as a centre-back.
Although they haven't shown it this season, I do think there's better options than Hobbs in the squad. I think Mancien last season showed his true potential. He was exceptional. And he really needs to find his form again. I think he should be the first choice centre-back week in, week out. In terms of Pereira, I think he hasn't got a better right-back at the minute. And he said in the interview that Pereira prefers playing at right-back. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. And if you've got a player who says he'd rather play at right-back and is good there, and although he is effective further forward, you play him at right-back. I mean, you look at numerous other right-backs around the world, your Dani Alves, your Hector Bellerin in the Premier League, like, they get forward from the right-back position and they do a job defensively. I think that is what Forest need to be looking for from Pereira.
This is URN, the sports show.